is Hayes versus City of Chicago. Mr. Flaxman.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. There are many decisions from this Court and other courts where a civil service employee has had a hearing before the Civil Service Board and was fired, and then pursues state administrative review and loses, and maybe appeals that and loses on appeal, and then comes into federal court with civil rights claims or Title VII claims and finds that his or her claim is barred by res judicata. This case is different than those cases. There are about 700,000 reasons why this case is different. That's the amount of money that the City of Chicago paid mostly to Mr. Hayes' former attorney and to Mr. Hayes in the State Human Rights Commission decision. The Human Rights Commission considered the same Title VII complaint that was raised, the same allegations of the complaint that we raised in the district court. Because those claims had not been reviewed by the state court, the district judge was not bound by the state administrative proceeding, but he ignored the state agency's finding that the cause of action, the transaction in the discrimination claim, was different than the transaction that was about firing Mr. Hayes. It would seem that basic principles of comity would require some deference to the decision of the state administrative agency. Instead, we have the appellee arguing that the findings of the state administrative agency are not relevant. It's not that the issues of collateral of res judicata were not raised. They were raised. The administrative law judge rejected those, saying that the police board proceedings, which were the transaction and issue administrative review, are not relevant to the discrimination claim. And that's, I think it's page 172 of the electronic record. That's what makes this case different than Garcia versus Mount Prospect and all the other numerous cases which say that you can't split your cause of action. There's a different transaction, as was determined by the Illinois Human Rights Commission.
Didn't the district court back in 95 say these were the same transactions?
It says that the civil rights claims were the same.
Yeah.
The claim changed or grew or was further clarified in the course of the Human Rights Commission proceedings. The complaint that was filed in 95, and there's no claim in this court or in the district court, but that federal district court decision is entitled to res judicata.
I don't understand why not. But
Well, perhaps the city will explain that. But the claims that were there tracked the claims that were in the complaint. The claims that were actually tried before the Human Rights Commission were quite different. And it might be that Mr. Hayes didn't learn about them until after he got into the case before the Human Rights Commission, which took a very, very long time to get to hearing, and then for the, I think it was a 14 or 17 day hearing, then there were 5 years after the hearing before there was a decision. But the claims that Mr. Hayes presented changed, morphed as the case progressed, and they were different than what was before Judge Hart.
How so?
They did not involve what happened before the police board. They did not happen. Well, Mr. Hayes also raised the ancient claims of the time-barred claims of discrimination in his Human Rights Commission. The Human Rights Commission said that those time-barred claims from 1980 and 85 were time-barred. They're not part of this case. But what is part of this case is not what happened before the police board. What is part of this case is the decision of the superintendent to say some people who commit misconduct go to the police board and get fired. Some people who commit the same misconduct don't go to the police board, don't get fired. That's the.
Would you agree that under our decision in Durgins, for example, those claims could have been raised in the Cook Circuit Court in the judicial review of the original police board decision?
No. The Illinois statute about joinder requires that the claims be a part of the same transaction.
Well, we say in Durgins, for example, we've treated those kinds of claims as we assume that the Illinois courts hear those kinds of issues when they arise out of a judicial review of the administrative proceeding.
If Mr. Hayes's only complaint was that I was treated differently at the police board, that the police board would have not fired somebody who was white but did fire somebody who was black, we would not be able to be here, and the city would not have lost before the Human Rights Commission, which applies the same res judicata rules that this court applies. Mr. Hayes's discrimination theory, which the Human Rights Commission found in his favor on, and which the city acquiesced in and paid that nearly $700,000, is that discrimination occurred separate and apart from what happened before the police board. That what happened before the police board isn't relevant, that what the focus of the claim, the fulcrum of the claim, is what happened, the decision by the superintendent to say, you're going to the police board because you're black, you're not going to the police board because you're white. That's a different transaction.
That's a separate transaction?
That's what the Illinois Human Rights Commission concluded when they rejected.
Is that consistent with any of our case law?
This is the first case, the only case that I found anywhere where somebody did this, where somebody went to the state agency, convinced the state agency that my case is different than what was before, what could have been brought in administrative review as a supplemental claim or as an additional claim, and you should hear and decide it. And the state agency did hear and decide it and did award relief, and the city acquiesced in that relief.
I understand your theory, Mr. Flaxman, is that they didn't award you enough relief, right?
Well, that's the reason why this case was filed.
Right. So why not just seek review of that decision for inadequate relief?
That would have invited a cross petition for review by the city. It would have delayed Mr. Hayes getting money, which he believes he should have gotten in 1994.
Delays? I mean, come on. We're 20 years later here.
So. Well, he's about ready to retire. He's not in good health. He really didn't want to wait another 6 months or another year or another year and a half probably to get that money. He might be dead. He wanted what was there, and he didn't want to invite the city to cross petition. And the city didn't petition either. They paid the $700,000. And I think that was a recognition that the Human Rights Commission was right in rejecting the race judicata argument that it raises before this court. This is really different than every other case that's been here before.
It sounds like you're asking for best two out of three.
Well, when I first looked at this, I was astounded that Title VII had an exception for administrative res judicata. I was convinced that that doesn't make any sense, but the Supreme Court said that's what Congress intended, that there is no administrative res judicata, and if you don't get all the relief that you get in the state agency, you could come into federal court, which is what we did. And we came into federal court, and we're told that, well, even though the state agency rejected the same res judicata argument and the city paid $700,000, we're going to say it's the same claim. We're not going to afford any comedy or any respect to the state agency. We're going to say, well, you know, it's the same. You lose. That's not right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flaxman. Mr. Barr?
May it please the court. Nearly 20 years ago, Mr. Hayes had an opportunity to present his claims in a single consolidated proceeding before the Illinois State Courts. At that time, he could have presented to a single court and, if necessary, a single jury any complaints he had regarding the allegations of misconduct against him, the proceedings before the police board, the investigation that led to the superintendent's recommendation of dismissal, as well as any problems with the superintendent's actual recommendation of dismissal. He simply did not do that. Instead, Mr. Hayes split his claims among what are now four different legal proceedings, one in the state court, one before the Human Rights Commission, and two before the federal courts, one of which has already been dismissed on claim preclusion grounds. As to the decision of the Human Rights Commission, which seems to be the focus of Mr. Hayes' claim on appeal. The Human Rights Commission, there's no issue of comity to the regarding the Human Rights Commission's decision. The Human Rights Commission specifically said that it was addressing the issue of collateral estoppel. That's as far as that decision went. It said these issues are not the same. It cited a decision that said the issues have to be identical for collateral estoppel to apply. Oh, sorry, I thought there was a question. Long and short, it applied only issues of collateral estoppel. Furthermore, the fact that the State Administrative Review Proceedings did not address Mr. Hayes' Title VII claim. The reason it did not address those claims were because Hayes did not bring those claims. It would turn the doctrine of claim preclusion on its head if a party was allowed to cherry-pick certain claims, bring those before one tribunal, and then turn around at a later time and say, you can't preclude those claims because the previous tribunal to which these claims were never presented didn't address those claims sua sponte. Clearly, on the Illinois doctrine of claim preclusion set forth in River Park, these claims are barred.
I don't understand the silence here about the 1995 district court dismissal. The city apparently didn't pursue this in the district court as a basis for claim preclusion here.
It did not. I'm not sure exactly why it appears that the only reason that appears in the record is that the district court in 1995 phrased it as a subject matter jurisdiction issue. We believe that was incorrect. But since a lack of subject matter jurisdiction prevents claim preclusion from applying in the first place, that's a prerequisite that the court had to have jurisdiction in the first place. I believe that was why it was not not raised as a another basis for claim preclusion. And because it was not raised below, we cannot raise it again on appeal. Turning briefly to Mr. Hayes' argument regarding equitable exceptions to claim preclusion, we believe that the record's clear that he waived those. He waived any such argument. Mr. Hayes' entire argument before the district court was merely that this was not the same transaction, and that Elliott did not grant preclusive effect to the Human Rights Commission's decision. He never even mentioned the existence of an equitable exception, let alone argue that such an exception should apply here. That argument is clearly waived. If there are no further questions, we'll rest on our briefs and respectfully request that you affirm the judgment of the district court.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Flax.
It's correct that the Human Rights Commission discussed collateral estoppel. The Human Rights Commission hearing officer in her recommended order, I think it's page 167 or 172 of the electronic record, said that I have denied the city's motion for collateral estoppel and res judicata dismissal. The city has excellent lawyers, and I would bet $10,000 that they raised the same res judicata argument before the Human Rights Commission that they raised before the district judge. The Human Rights Commission hearing officer rejected it. The Human Rights Commission, in its wisdom, did not specifically refer to res judicata when they affirmed and adopted her findings and recommendations. But the city paid $700,000. It's offensive, I think, to considerations of comity to say that doesn't matter. Nothing that happened before the Human Rights Commission matters. We can decide this just on our own based on papers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fleggins. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. We move to the